Acts 17:11 and 12 today. But or yet there's other verses besides that. But before we even go there, I want to help you with something. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, if you got a phone, I'm just realizing I didn't turn my phone down. So if you got a phone, would you turn it off so we don't interrupt what God's doing, okay? Hey, Brian. I want to help you with something today. So I want everybody to just hear this, okay? Everybody in this place wants Jesus. Whether you say yes or not, I know you want Jesus or you wouldn't be here. Okay? It's like, I'm telling you, sir, I know it. You can exist without Jesus, but you can't live without Jesus. Do you know that? Have you ever said that? You can exist without Jesus, but you can't live without Jesus. Okay? You don't have life without Him. You have existence. You wonder why you're here. Life is so hard. You don't know how to deal with whoever you're married to, or your kids, or whoever you work with, or yourself. You don't even know how to deal with yourself, do you? Amen. I want to give you something today. When I was doing this, and God was giving me stuff before I got here, and then I walked over here to pray, and somebody was praying, and it sounded like that they were praying what I was, part of what I was getting ready to preach. They were praying as if they had gotten what God was getting ready to have me preach. Okay? Some of it. And it was like, it was so neat. I want to help you with your life. If you get what I'm going to say today, it will change your life. It will radically change your life. Okay? Father, I do not just want to preach. I want to preach with your life in it. I want you, I'm asking you to guide and direct every word that I speak, that I think, and that only you would come forth, and that you would make it so powerful that it would be like living seed, that we'd be up here just shooting into people's hearts, and each one would say, here, shoot me, would open the hearts and just say, I want you to shoot truth into me. I want you to shoot the life of God into me, because I need the life of Jesus. And Lord, I just commit this time into your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. Father God loves you 100%, no matter what you choose. God loves every single person in hell. Do you understand that? Just so you have an idea where I'm coming from, Psalm 139, I believe it's around verse 7. I'll be there in a second. Yep. Psalm 139, you got your Bible? Psalm 139 and verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence, God? If I ascend up into heaven, if I was to go to heaven, thou art there. And yet, if I was to make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. I believe that God goes to hell, sees people that He created for His glory, for fellowship, for personal relationship, sees them in hell. They don't see Him because there's no light and He's light. There's no love and he's love. There's no life and he's life. It's called eternal death. Hell is. So they don't get to sense his presence. But he goes there. He sees people. And he weeps. It breaks his heart because that's not what he designed them for. He designed hell for the devil and his angels. But people, through choices, because God gives us a free will. Would you rather God take away your free will and you be a little chess piece? A little automaton, you have to do whatever he tells you? Sometimes I've thought the same thing. Sometimes I thought, God, just take away my will so I can just do what's right. And he's like, no. He's like, I limit myself by giving you a free will. And there are people that choose to go to hell. There are people that choose to reject truth. There are people that choose to reject life. They choose to reject light. Men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. But he that loveth truth cometh to the light that his deeds may be made clearly revealed, that they are wrought in God. God loves you 100%. Right now. He will love you 100% 5 minutes from now, 5 days from now, 5 years from now, no matter your choices. He will love you. But our choices determine our life, and our choices determine His blessing and His help. For example, if you have a child, and you love your child. Do you love your child? Okay. Now, but does your child always do what you want them to do? Do you like it when they stiffen up? Do you like it when they will not? Do you like it when they tell you yes and go do no? That's what we are like with God. Shame on us. God, can you bless that little child? Oh, little rebel, let me buy you a toy. Oh, little rebellious brat, willful, disobedient, let me bless you. Is that what's in your heart when they're acting like that? But you love them, don't you? But at that moment, you don't like them. Are you with me? And you can't bless them. She's probably okay. She's still breathing. Okay. God wants to bless us, but He can't bless many choices that we make. I'll just wait while everybody's looking at the little one. Okay. The whole congregation. Okay. Are y'all ready now? Here we go. God loves you 100%, but our choices determine our life, His blessing, and help. Turn to Isaiah 55 and verse 8. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. You open your Bible to the middle, and then go over to the right a little bit. I had to turn around to figure where my right was. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. Then we're going to do verse 7. God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Are you tired of your way yet? Are you tired of your way? What if you could start over today? Would you like to? What if we could just start over today? We got a clean slate. We get to start all over today. Would you like that? Did you know that I get to do that every single day, and you could too. Let's do it this way. Today, you want to start over? Let's look at verse 7. Let the wicked is outside of what God wants, outside of God's way, right? So anything we're doing, rebellious, angry, bitterness, backbiting, disobedient, gossiping, you follow me? That's not God, right? That's wicked. Sorry, is that right? Okay. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. God, I don't want to think that way anymore. And let him return unto the Lord, and he, God, will have mercy upon him. Mercy means he won't give you what you deserve. Deserve a spanking? He won't give it to you because Jesus got spanked in your place. And he will have mercy upon you, and let him return to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Abundantly pardon. Forgive. God, I'm going to teach you something today that will help you if you get this. Write it down. Do you need a notebook? Does anybody need a notebook? Because we'll get you one. I buy them. We've got them in there. We'll get you a notebook. Anybody need one? Okay? Watch this. When you sin, have you ever beaten yourself up because you feel bad about you do this or you do that? Well, let me ask you a question. Why did Jesus go to the cross? Just help me understand that. Why did he go to the cross? He went for what? No, wait a minute. He went for what? He went for our sins. Then that means he was beaten for us, correct? Then why are we beating ourselves up? I'm trying to teach. This is a victory lesson today. This is going to help you get victory in your life. God's way is so simple. But the world's way and every other way is not. And it's hard. The Bible says the way of the transgressors is hard. Your life been hard? Wouldn't you like to go in an easier way? Jesus' way. See, when Jesus, on Jesus' path, it's called one way. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. When you're on Jesus' way, you have less restriction. Because what happens is you have less interference because you're walking down this path. When you're walking the devil's way, it says that there are thorns set in front of you. Everything comes against you. You don't have the blessing of God. You don't have the life of God, which is like oil in an engine. See, you're like running your engine without oil. You're running your life without lubricant. And it's hard. I would like to start over today. I would like to start over now, Lord. Can I do that? Yes. I'm getting ready to lead you in a prayer to help you do this. What? What are you laughing about? Do you? I'm so glad. I love me too. Okay, here we go. You ready? And I love you. Okay, here we go. You ready? When you sin, Has there been a time where you came to God and said, God, I am a sinner. I am responsible for my sin. I don't deserve to go to heaven. I deserve to be punished. That means I deserve to be separated from you forever. I don't deserve heaven. But I believe that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. And he loved me enough that he became my substitute and he got what I deserve. And you said, Jesus, I am asking you to forgive me and I want you to be my Savior. Has there been a time in your life where you accepted Christ and made him the Lord of your life, made him, accepted him as your Savior? Have you done that? Then let me tell you something that's going to help you, okay? Turn over to 1 John 1:9. we're going to get to Acts 17:11 sooner or later. It may not be today, but it will be sooner or later, okay? 1 John 1:9. Thank you, Jesus. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus, You're my Savior, but Jesus, I'm still a sinner that's been forgiven. And every day, I sin. I don't want to sin, but I find that I do. That's why we say, I would rather have my will taken away, because it would be easier if God just made me do it, you know? Okay? But what God is looking to do is God is looking to develop His life, His character inside of you. And if you want to be a follower of Him, that means you want to be a disciple. That means you are going to have to learn discipline. If you would have gotten discipline when you were a child, it would be easier as an adult. But because a lot of our parents did not discipline us properly, they laughed at our little things that we did. They were too busy for us because they had their own issues and stuff they were dealing with. They had wrong thinking, and they didn't realize that God prepared a place on our body to help get our attention. Okay? One way or another, you can either have a timeout or you can have a board meeting. You know? My parents learned about the board meeting. I wish they'd learned about the timeout sometimes, but I never got the timeout. I got the board meeting all the time. So I learned a lot of discipline as I was growing up. But a lot of our parents did not do that. And so what happens is, as we get older, like my wife, when she got saved, and then God started dealing with her about discipline, my wife had never had a spanking or a timeout in her life. She got to do whatever she wanted. If she didn't do something right, if her mom told her to go and, you know, being a girl, she changed her clothes 2 or 3 times a day. I don't understand that. I'm a guy, I only change them once or twice a week, whether I need it or not. Okay? I don't understand this 2 or 3 times a day stuff. But she would take them and she'd kick them under her bed. So her mom would come in there and yell at her, "Why are you kicking your clothes under your bed?" While her mom got on all fours, climbed under her bed, pulled the clothes out, yelling at her and her sister the whole time. My brother, we're growing up. He didn't want to do dishes, but we didn't have any sisters. So my brother and I got to do dishes. I still like to do dishes to this day. I will do them for Sue. She's like, "You don't have to do that." I'm like, "I like doing them." She hates doing them. I like doing them. When we have Thanksgiving and Christmas and all our kids and grandkids and about 40-some people, however many there are, because it never seems to end, that list. I, whoever house we're at, I'll do the dishes. I like doing all those dishes. Now my brother, he didn't like doing dishes. So my mom would say, "Now this is a particular bowl from your Aunt Gladys or somebody that we don't even know who this lady is that my mom talks about, but she's supposed to be some relative, whatever that means. And what I want you to do is be careful. This has been passed down for years as if whatever. And don't break this." So my brother, who didn't want to do dishes, guess what he did? I watched him on purpose. Bam! I mean, many different times. My mom would start yelling, "Casey, you can't do dishes." "What? Do you think that's a punishment?" "Oh, darn, Mom, please, can't I do dishes?" "Oh. Okay, Mom, man, I'm so discouraged, I can't do dishes." I mean, what do you think he acted like? You know? Harvey, you wash them and you dry them. What did I do? We didn't always get disciplined right. But God is our Father. And He is going to teach us discipline. You can learn it the easy way by choosing to cooperate, or you can learn it the hard way. He won't quit. If He's your daddy, He won't quit. Now, if you're not getting disciplined, you're not one of His. It says in Hebrews chapter 12. It says that you are a bastard. That means you are illegitimately born. You may be a professor, but not a possessor. You may profess Christ, but not possess Him. Okay? God is going to bring discipline in our life. It's for our good. Are you tired of your way yet? What if you could start over? I'm going to pray something, because I feel like God was telling me to do this when I was up here. I want to pray something, and if you mean what I'm saying, I want you to say it out loud. This is for you. This is your prayer. I'm just helping you to put it in words. Okay? I've talked to every single one of you. I've probably hugged about every single one of you. Not necessarily today, but I have hugged you one time or the other. You know that I love you. You know I care about you. And I have listened to you, and I've heard things come out of your mouth. And just by you being here tells me you want these things I'm getting ready to pray. So I want you to pray these things. You make it your prayer. Are you ready? Dear Father, out loud now. Dear Father, I want you. I want to get closer to you. I want to be like Jesus. So right now, I break agreement with the devil. I don't want him in my life in any way. I don't want to agree with him. I don't want him living in me or through me. I want you, Jesus. So I'm asking you right now to help me open my ears, open my heart, so I could receive what you have for me today. I'm asking you to forgive me of all of my sin. And Jesus, I want to start all over right now. I'm asking you to forgive me. I want to thank you for dying in my place and taking what I deserve. I just want to thank you. Now I want to follow you. Teach me how. Help me to not argue. But I choose to cooperate. Thank you, Jesus. Turn to Acts 17:11, please. Acts 17:11. I started last week talking about the title of the sermon is How to Come to Church. And if you're going to put that on the tape, DBJ, it's How to Come to Church 2. Or continued. I don't care. How do we come to church? Let's look at Acts chapter 17 and verse 11 and 12. Acts 17, 11 and 12. These were more noble. Let's go back to verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. I want to draw your attention to three little phrases. They received the word, four phrases, I guess, with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily. And what was the result? Verse 12, therefore, many of them believed. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God wants us to be people of faith. Faith is believing, but it's not just believing like a mental assent, like I'm believing that this chair could hold me up. I say, I believe that chair will hold me up. Is that chair holding me up? Man, I'm getting yeses and nos, and some of y'all are just puzzled look. Is that chair right now holding me up? Then I'm not believing on that chair. I might believe in that chair, but it's not doing me any good. There's a lot of people that believe in Jesus, and it's not doing them any good because they're believing in Him. They may have even come to a place where they believed on Him as their Savior. And then they try to live their life without Him. Oh, I believe in Jesus, but it doesn't help you in your life because you're living your way. You've got your hands on the steering wheel of your vehicle, your life. You're the Lord of your life. You choose where you go. You choose who you're with. You choose what you do. You choose what you watch on the television. You have your hands on the steering wheel of your life. Oh, I believe in Jesus. And how does that help you? In Colossians 2:6, it says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. The same way you get saved is the same way you're supposed to live. The way you get saved is you realize your condition, you admit your inability to do anything about it, you realize God's solution, death, burial, resurrection. You admit His ability to do everything about it. And then you choose to depend on Him. I'm depending on You, Jesus, to save me. It's not you plus me doing anything. God bless you on purpose. It's Jesus, you depending on Jesus. How are you supposed to live your everyday life? You need to realize your condition. I wish I didn't have a free will. I wish I wouldn't keep messing up. In the morning I say I'm not going to do this. But before noon I've already done it. I made this promise and it didn't work. I made this vow and it didn't work. Realize your condition. You need Jesus 24/7. Do you understand? Do we want to help those people that are coming in, Glenn? Thank you. Everybody doesn't need to look, but you can if you need to. They're just people walking in thinking we got a resale shop here on Sunday. Okay? It's okay. We just let them know we got church. So here we go. Are you ready? God, we need God in every area of our life, every day, all day. We need God. We don't need to just know about Him. I need Jesus with me everywhere I go. Everywhere I go, I need Jesus. This is Jesus. Everywhere I go, I need Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Everywhere I go, I need Jesus. when I'm going to deal with my wife, oh boy, do I need Jesus. When I'm gonna go to work, man, do I need Jesus. Now, if I get away from Jesus, I got it. I'll handle this call by myself. It doesn't go so good. There's friction. I took the oil, the Holy Spirit, out of my relationship with somebody, and now I'm trying to do it. Now there's friction. Do you ever have friction with people? Because we didn't bring Jesus into it. We didn't pray. We didn't let Jesus flow through us. We didn't think like Jesus. We don't treat them like Jesus. I don't even see them like Jesus. But when I'm hanging out with Jesus, I can. I start seeing people. Have you ever been around somebody? Now, you've probably never done this, but this is what's happened for me, okay? Have you ever been around somebody and you just really didn't like them? I mean, you just couldn't hardly stand them. And they're in your life. I mean, you might be married to them. I mean, they might be somebody related to you. And you can't stand them. And yet you get, like, let's say you bring them to me, because this is what y'all do. Y'all got your hard cases, so you bring them to me. Let's see what Pastor Harvey does with them, you know. And then I just start loving them. And I'm just loving on them. And you're going, is that dude blind? Can't he see? Let him open their mouth. Then he won't like them, you know. Look, I see those same things you do. I hear those same things. They offend me. They hurt me. But what I do, I'm sorry, I forgot Jesus. I still need you. Hey, Jesus. Jesus. I'm sorry. Come here, Jesus. Did I interrupt you, Jesus? Okay, here we go. What I do is I draw back. See, if I'm out here, I can see him like you do. Because I got the same flesh you do. And they're irritating my flesh. You know, the know-it-alls, the selfish, the proud. You know what I'm talking about? The takers. Because everybody's either a giver or a taker. Ones that are after Jesus are givers. Ones that don't have a God consciousness, they're takers. I don't like the takers. Okay? So what I do is when I get around them, what I do, I find myself, they're irritating me. I draw back into Jesus and say, Jesus, first of all, please forgive me because I don't like them. You know? And he says, I know, Harv. Thanks for telling me because that was the truth. Okay? And I said, Jesus, help me to see him through your eyes. He says, okay. And then when I look at him, I see him through his eyes. And see, Jesus loves you because he knows who he created you to be. He knows who you are without all the mess. Because he knows who he created you to be, perfect in his image. Perfect in his image. I mean it, even you, Cheryl. Perfect in his image. She is made perfect in God's image. God knows us, who we are, who he created us to be. But maybe when we were a child, somebody hurt us, somebody, we put wrong expectation in them. Maybe our parents got divorced and we had abandonment. You know, now we feel abandoned. And now we're afraid for the rest of our lives that people are going to abandon us. Do you understand? We have things that happen in us and they defile who we are because now we start acting different, thinking different, and treating others different. But Jesus knows who we are without the hurt. He knows who he created us to be. And when we're in Jesus, when we're hanging out with him, do you understand? Abba, Father, Daddy, God, we're hanging out with him. We start seeing like he does. We see the people. I can see the sin. I can see the mess. But it's like God can see that it's not who we are. See, like, if somebody yelled at her consistently, she would get defensive. Do you understand? She would find herself, you'd find that she's yelling and screaming at people because that's what's been done to her. God knows who she is. He sees and He can separate between who she is and what she does. That is a spirit like a fear or anger coming against us. Is that in the Bible? Glad you asked. 2 Timothy 1:7. It's a song. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. This 2 Timothy 1:7. This is where in the Bible you'll find God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. It's a spirit. So a devil, are you listening to me? A devil of anger comes along and tries to get on her. A devil of fear. And says, I want to color the way you see things, the way you think, and the way you act. I want to live in you so that I can live through you. Jesus comes to deliver us. Now you've got Jesus living in you. And a spirit, an evil spirit, cannot necessarily live in you. You can't be possessed. But you could be controlled because you have a free will and you get to choose. You ought to write this down. Every moment of every day, you are under the influence of a spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Who is that? Who's that? Holy Spirit, Jesus, God. All one. Yes, you're all right. Okay. Now, how about anger, lust, hate, selfishness, pride, Who is that? Self-righteous. Self-pity. Who is that? Sorry? That's Satan. Who do you want living in you? You say, no, it's just me. It's not you. You were created in the image of God. I dare you to say that. I am created in the image of God. Say that. I am created in the image of God. I mean, you didn't evolve from a monkey or something or an acorn or something, did you? Did you? You were made in the image of God. Is God perfect? Do you see how simple this is? It's so simple. Little kids can get it. It's just hard to get it through to the adults. It really is. I can preach to the kids and they get it. But you adults, it's not just you. I've done it all over the country. They have a hard time getting it. Jesus, I want to see the people through your eyes. Because Jesus could see who He made her to be, separates it from what she does, the way she acts, the way she speaks. He loves her. He does not love what she's doing. Do you understand? Are you with me? But we have a hard time with people because we have a hard time separating between the person and what they're doing, don't we? You want to get a little key on that? Okay, pray this. Jesus, please help me to see others through your eyes the way you see them. You know what's neat? He's going to answer that. He's going to answer that. And when you start getting a glimpse of that, it will change your whole life. It will change the way you live. Thank you, Jesus. I need Jesus in every area of my life every day. I need Jesus with every one of you. I need Jesus when I look in the mirror. Because I get mad at myself. Do you know why we get mad at people? Just a little thought. Do you know why we get mad at people? Turn to Psalm 62:5, please. Psalm 62:5. I dare you to memorize this verse. Meditate on it until you memorize it. I dare you. Look. I double dog dare you. I just drew a line. I double dog dare you. You ready? Psalm 62:5. My soul. Who's he talking to? Me. My soul. Hope thou only in God. For my expectation is from Him. When you only get disappointed or mad at somebody, it's because you're putting expectation in them. Well, I expected you to do this. I'm sorry. I can't live up to your expectations. We got to put all of our expectation in God. Jesus will lift you up. The only way you can be lifted up by somebody is if Jesus is in them. If they're bringing a truth of Jesus to you. Because the truth will set you free. When you get around people, that's in John 8, 32 and 36. When you get around people and they encourage you, motivational speakers, it's because they're speaking a truth, if it's real, they're speaking a truth, an eternal truth, and the truth will set you free. They may not even mention God, but they're preaching a principle, a truth of God. Title of this sermon is How to Come to Church, but there's so much to it. That's why I said this is How to Come to Church 2. We did it last week. We'll probably get finished one of these days. One of these numbers will run out, you know. We'll get there. But let me just give you a few things about how to come to church that will help you tremendously. Okay? I'm just going to read down a list. I'm going to read it again at another time. You won't get them all today because I'm not going to read fast, but I'm not going to just take the time for you to write every one of them down. But I want you to get them and just pray right now, God, whatever you want to stick out to me, what's the one thing I need or maybe the two things I need? And He'll make those jump out at you, okay? And then we're going to go over some verses because that's where I want to get to. And so let's do this. Be faithful to church. Church is God's house. Do you ever go somewhere and you look forward to when you get to go home? Yeah, like you go to work and then you look forward to getting to go home. Or you go on a vacation and then you can't wait to get home. Well, see, I get to go to God's house. And it's like I get to hang out with God. And I'm around God's people, and it's peaceful here. People come to our resale shop. I hear they come to our resale shop, and they walk in, and they don't know it's a church because we don't have any church signs up yet. And they'll say, wow, it's peaceful here. Wow, it feels different here. I was just across the street at Goodwill. Nothing against Goodwill. Or down the road at Thrifty Acres or whatever it's called. I don't know. Some thrift store down there. Okay? But when I come in here, it's different. It's the Spirit of God. This is God's house. He told us to open that. Whatever He wants to do. But we don't do it on Sunday. It's not about that. But you do what He tells you. But when you come here, it's like this is God's house. If you say you belong to God, should you go to the devil's house? I've been in his house. It ain't no fun. I've knocked on doors to tell people about Jesus. They opened the door. They let me in. I found it was a crack house. I found it was a drug house. I found it was a prostitution house. It's like, whoa, I don't like being in this place. But I love to go to God's house. How do you come to church? Be faithful. Be faithful. Get planted. Look at anything out there that's green. It's planted. Or it won't be green very long. Unless you're talking about a car. Good night's sleep. Always get a good night's sleep before you come. Come prepared. Get empty before you come. We talked about that last week. We'll go over that again. But get empty before you come. That means get empty of all whatever it is, your needs, your burdens. We're going to talk about that. But anyway, get empty before you come. Because, see, if you're full of matter, when you come to church, You just got through arguing with somebody. You know, you're thinking about all your cares and all your things. You come in, you can't receive because you're full. You need to bring all that to God and let God deal with you. Let Father take care of you. You know it's Abba, Father, which means Daddy God. Do you know Him that way? That was something else I was going to get to over on this page. Do you know Him that way? Tell Him, Father, I want to know You. You see, I met Jesus Christ July 1st, 1976. I met God as the Holy Spirit in 1983. And then I met God the Father in 1995. And it was like knowing God in a deeper way. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's manifest or known in three ways, but He's one God. Well, I just asked Him, please, I got around people back in the early 90s that were, there was this Father move going on. And I had never been able to know God as Father. I knew He was Father. I could speak it into people because I could speak the truth. But inside of me, my earthly father and I didn't even know Him till I was in the third grade. And then when I was in the ninth grade, He divorced my mom again. So I did not know my Father, so I had a hard time relating to God as Father. So God, I had to ask Him. I got around people that knew Him as Father and were talking about Him as Father. And I said, I know Your Father, Jesus. I know, Holy Spirit, that You are Father too, but I don't know Father. I don't understand Father. Father, I have a hard time with Father. I said, I would like to know You as Father God. You got to write this down. He always accepts an invitation. God always accepts an invitation. When you read this Bible, you will find His favorite word is come. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. They that come to Me, I will in no wise cast out. God is always about inviting people. And then He says, "How? Why don't you invite Me? Because I'll come. Invite Me." You know what my wife and I did this morning? We got up, did our little, you know, brush teeth, take shower the whole trip, and get ready. And then we both went and got in different chairs, different rooms, and we just lay down and said, Father, would You come? And we just met with God. Because He always comes. Because He delights in you. When you come to church, bring a Bible. Bring a notebook. Bring a pen. Come prepared. Here's one. Pay attention on purpose. You know what that means? It means when you're listening, like one of the reasons that I sit on the front row, because one time I tried when I was in a church and I was getting mad at the preacher. I was getting disappointed in him. I had expectations and God was moving him. He finally told me that God was moving him to another church, but he waited 2 years before he moved. And during those 2 years, church got really hard because God was trying to have the preacher move somewhere else. And so it was hard. So I got mad at the preacher because he was like my best friend or one of my best friends. And I was getting disappointed in him. And so what I did was I tried going and sitting in the back of the church. I can't stand sitting in the back of a church because I can't stand anybody being between me and the one that's speaking. Because there's too many distractions. And for me, I get distracted. Pay attention on purpose. Don't let people around you talk. Don't put away things that would distract you. Pay attention. That's why you want a notebook. That's why you want a pen. That's why you want the Bible in front of you. When the preacher says, open your Bible and turn to such and such, open your Bible, turn there, see what he has to say. It's going to change you. It's going to help you. It's going to grow you. It's going to mature you. It's going to Jesus you. Have a notebook. Write down the things that are said. Write down every verse. Now this one. God bless you again. You need another blessing? Go ahead and sneeze again. Okay. I know it. I am so sorry. Jesus, I want to bring him under your blood and your healing and just ask that you would just heal him so he wouldn't have that allergy problem. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I was getting ready to double dog dare y'all something. Here we go. Double dog dare you. See the line? Okay. I dare you to write down every scripture you hear today. Go home, look up those verses, each one, read each one about 10 times. And before you read, pray Luke 24:45. Luke 24:45. It says, "Then opened he their understanding that they may understand the scriptures." Is that not simple or what? Luke 24:45. Is that not simple or what? You'll find the same thing in Psalm 118:8. Psalm 119:18. "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Psalm 119:18. Pay attention on purpose. Be a participant. When you're looking up the scripture, you're a participant. When you're writing stuff down, you're a participant. When the preacher's preaching and you agree, say amen. When he's preaching and it hits you like right between the eyes, say, "Oh me!" But be a participant. You got what I'm saying? Don't be a spectator. This isn't to entertain you. Many times I've said, I'm not trying to win a popularity contest. As a matter of fact, whether you like me or not, doesn't really make a hill of beans. There is a number of you that are on our leadership team. There's at least probably a half a dozen people that are on our leadership team now. When they first met me, they couldn't stand me. And that's okay. You don't have to like me. Right, Don? You don't have to like me. What you got to do is, if God put you here, He put you here for a reason. Maybe I'm that sand in your oyster shell that's going to create a pearl in your life. It's not about liking. You don't have to like the messenger to get the message. I don't like the stop signs. I wish they said rolling instead of stop. I wish everybody else got red lights, you know? I don't need them. I'm being honest here. I mean, you know, y'all can say all the right things. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. Okay? Be a participant. Look for a ways to help and assist. You know what's neat? We're teaching these little guys in the morning when I say, ushers and all the little guys, because I prayed and I say, God, because every other church I've been in, it's always been adult men, right? I mean, usually, sometimes there's usherettes, but most of the time it's adult men, right? And God, when I prayed about it, He said, no, I want you to have the little guys do it, because I want them to learn to participate. I want them to learn to be a help. I want them to learn to serve, because I want them to be like Jesus. Find ways to help and assist. Have you ever heard the word volunteer? Miss Sue, how can I help? Pastor Glenn, how can I volunteer? What could I do? Is there something I could do? Whatever's going on, participate in it. If the singing's going on, stand up and sing. You know, you can wave your arms around. You don't have to go to the bathroom to lift your arm here. Okay? You can raise up. You understand? You don't have to have a question to raise your hand. Participate in everything that goes on. Be a participant. You will get more out of it. You only get out of something, you want to write this down, another principle. You only get out of something what you put into it. You only get out of something what you put into it. One accord in one place. Lord, how am I not in accord here? I want to be in accord. I want to be in one. I'm not talking about a Honda here. I'm talking about us coming into agreement. What are you doing here, Lord? I want to get into agreement with what you're doing here. That's why every now and then God will lead me to say, if you feel like that you want to go to a different church, please don't just leave. Come up here so we can pray for you and send you out with God's blessing, God's direction, and God's provision. This is not a collection center. We're just trying to get everybody to come in a building, see how many we can get. Well, ho, we got a bunch. You know, I don't care. This is a sending station. This is to help people get to know and live Jesus, find out what you were on this earth for, and then send you to do it. With the power, the love, the provision of God. Do you understand? I'm going to stop there. I'd like to keep going. The next one is a funny one. But anyway, Acts chapter 17, I want to look at verse 11. These were more, in verse 12, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, these people in Berea, in that they received the word. They received the word. How did they receive it? With all readiness of mind. They were wide open. They were paying attention. They were writing it down. How do you know they wrote it down? Because the next one says, and they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. How many people in this country are man followers or feeling followers, but they're not God followers? Are you a truth seeker? Let me just stop here. Are you a truth seeker? If you're a truth seeker, stand up. Would you please? I'd just like to know who the truth seekers are in here. The ones that want truth. I thought that was all of you. Thank you. Now, see, y'all felt better now because you stand up, you got to stretch. Okay, you sit down. Truth seeker. God, I am a truth seeker. I want truth. My wife and I have a saying. I would rather see a truth that I hate than be deceived by a lie that I like. Can you say that? I don't mean, I'm just asking you to say it. Could you mean that? I would rather see a truth that I hate than be deceived by a lie that I like. If you could say that, I know you're a truth seeker. Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and then they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. What? Want to come to me? Okay. Verse 12. Therefore, many of them believed. Many people believed. Why? Because they were receiving the word. They were prepared. They were writing it down. They searched the scripture. And they lived it. How do I know they lived it? Because when the Bible talks about faith, that word believed, in verse 12, faith is an action word. You could say, I believe in Jesus, like you believe in this chair that it'll hold you up, but it's not holding you up. When you believe on Jesus, you demonstrate your faith because you have now had to depend. You've now had to exercise your faith by doing something. Faith is an action word. In James chapter 2, toward the end, it says, show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works. People tell me I believe stuff all the time, but I can't see it in their life. You tell me you believe, but how are you living it? Faith is an action word. If we're going to walk with God, it's an action. Walking is an action. I'm going to give you some verses. I want to read these verses. I'm going to give you the references. And God bless you again. That word received, by the way, means to take fully or to welcome, to accept, to receive gladly. They received the word. Look in Acts chapter 2, verse 41. I'm going to just go through these kind of quickly. If you can get them, whatever, but write them down. Acts 2:41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them, talking about the church, about 3,000 souls. Acts chapter 10, verse 33. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Here's the key. Now therefore, this is like somebody sitting at Burning Bush. He says this. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. God has a place called His house. He establishes a leader. He ordains authority. He establishes authority. He puts people there because He has things that He wants to give you. You won't get it somewhere else. You have to be where God wants you to be. Psalm 92:13, if you want to write that one down in parentheses, and 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18. Okay? I'm not going to read those. But he says, now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Acts chapter 11, verse 1. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. We're talking about Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed. I'm just showing you other places where it talks about in the Bible about how they received the word. Okay? Job 23:12. This verse, 1977, radically changed my life. Because of this verse, I've read this Bible from cover to cover over 75 times, memorized thousands of verses because of this verse. Job 23:12. It says, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips, for I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. Whatever God said, I did it. Remember I told you that when I grew up, my mom and dad, they believed in the Board of Education. Remember I told you about that? We'd go in the bedroom and have us a board meeting. Well, I used to have that every day. I thought when you woke up in the morning, you were supposed to get a spanking. I thought when you went to school, you were supposed to get a spanking. And when you came home, you were supposed to get a spanking, because that's how I was raised. And I was surprised when I found out my friends didn't get spankings. And when I got saved and got in church, and Sue and I, we got married, she and the preacher's wife and others, but those two I remember, both came to me right when I first got in church, after I wasn't in church very long, and said, how do you just do what the Bible says? You just read it, and if it says it, you just do it. I said, because I was taught to obey when I was a kid. If you didn't obey, there were consequences. Do you know if we don't obey, there's consequences? Now, I know you could do a rolling stop and get away with it a number of times. Unfortunately, I know from experience. I know you could run a red light and you could get away with it. I know you could speed and get away with it. Don't even comment, Glenn. Okay? I know. My truck only knows two speeds. It's doing one right now in the parking lot and the other one when I'm in it. Okay? Now, what I'm saying to you is, policemen may have let down standards. I know our president has let down standards, but God hasn't let down his standards. And he's my king. I have no king but Jesus. I honor authority, but I have no king but Jesus. Job 23:12. Neither can you say this. I'm not asking you to say it with me out loud. If you want to, you can. But I'm asking you to check your own heart. Neither have I gone back or disobeyed the commandments of his lips. I want to obey everything that it says. Let me make your life a little easier. If you look at the Bible as a bunch of rules, you're going to have a hard time. Because nobody can fulfill it. That's why Jesus had to fulfill it for us. But if you go to God and you say, God, my desire is to live this word. My desire is to obey you. My desire is to please you. Please teach me how to walk with you. When you mess up, fess up. Do you understand? God, please help me to do right with my kids. First step, I mess up. Oh, God, please forgive me. Jesus, I'm so sorry I caused your death. I'm so sorry I caused your pain. He said, joy, I forgive you. And then you just say, thank you, Jesus. Because you just entered into His forgiveness. Now you're clean again. You get to start over. You see? You took one step. You messed up. Fess up. Don't let it build up. And then you walk around carrying this weight of guilt and shame and wondering, and where's God and why is my life so hard? And let me crawl in bed and not get out. Let me turn on the TV and drink and all the other things we do to hide. First step, as soon as you mess up, fess up. You got that? And then, as you're walking with Him, His way is easy. Does it say that in the Bible? Where does it say it? Matthew what? Chapter 11, around verse 28 to 31. Somebody turn over there. Matthew 11, 28 to 31. Does it say it? Jesus said that His way is easy. Are you there? 11, 28 to 30. I thought it was 31, 30. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That means you're carrying a burden. And Jesus said, I will give you rest. Do you want to keep carrying that burden? Then why do you? I'm asking. Then why do you? Today, you're going to learn. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Jesus, I can't do this. He said, I didn't design you to do it. He said, I don't want you to be independent. I don't like that about America. I don't want you to be independent. That's pride. That's ego. That's self-reliance. He said, I want you to be dependent on me. Jesus, I need you again. See, He's not looking. God's not our stepdaddy. He ain't looking for visitation rights. What He wants is habitation. He wants us to learn to hang out with Him. Has anybody here learned how to hang out with Him? I'm telling you, hanging out with Him is way better than visiting Him. You could come to church or get around a Christian and get all built up and touched and woo woo. And then you leave and it's back to dun 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 dun. Huh? Jesus, if He's wanting habitation, do you think He might, if we asked Him, invited Him to teach us how to habitate with Him, do you think He might would do that? Thank you, Jesus, for always being here. Love you, brother. Isn't He cool? Verses quickly. He says, neither have I gone back from the commandment of His lips. Look at the next part. I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. Now maybe you've never heard me say this before, because maybe you weren't paying attention. Are you listening? To eat this is more important than eating your food. 1977. I go to church. Preacher says, open your Bible. Oh, that's what I haven't done since last time I was here. Open my Bible. God, I want to open my Bible. I want to read my Bible every day. How do I do that? And so I would make these determinations, and I would usually make it through Monday. And Tuesday, I was all caught up in life again. And then one day, God showed me this verse. I got in church in 77, and in 77, He showed me this verse. He says, I have esteemed, I have made important the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. I said, God, before I put any food in my mouth, I'm going to put Your Word in my heart. I'm just challenging You. Wouldn't you like to talk to Jesus every day? Wouldn't you like to hear from Jesus every day? Here's how you will hear from Him. Here's how you'll know you're hearing from Him. He speaks in many ways, but this is how you know if it's Him. Let me go through some verses real quick, if I can. That's possible. If it's possible. Where am I? Okay. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, liftest up thy voice for understanding. If you seek her, if you seek God, if you seek wisdom, he's talking about, as silver, and searches for her as for hid treasures. If you seek God like you're looking for your keys that you can't find, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. I've got many verses I would like to share. The thing is God wants a relationship with us. He loves you 100% whether you ever make the right choices or not. His love is not based on your obedience. His blessing, His help is. Because He won't bless your way. He won't bless sin. He won't bless rebellion. He won't bless disobedience. Do you understand? But He loves you. But He sees what you're agreeing with or your choices. And He says, I've got a better way for you. He says, it's just one step at a time. Learn to fess up. And then just say, Jesus, will You help me through this? Will You teach me how to walk with You? Will You teach me how to hang out with You? Open up His Word. Let Him talk to you. John 15:3, now you are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. It will make you clean. It will change you. Were you ever in trouble when you were a teenager? And your mom said, I'm sorry, did I just touch on something? Everybody's eyes, you should have seen everybody's face. That's right. And they didn't even say it in Bosnian. But, were you ever in trouble? And then you heard your mom telling the teacher at school or the principal, she just hung out with some bad kids. Well, you had some different folks, Janiah, there. We become like who we associate with. Who wants to be like Jesus? Guess how we're going to become like Him? Hanging out with Him. Hanging out with Him. And hanging out with people who want to be like Him. Do you hear me? I gave you a few things about coming to church today. Just a few. Because I got a lot more. But ask God, where are those in my life? Are they in my life? Because, see, your life, it's not that Jesus is just going to take you from where you are and make everything just right overnight. He's going to walk you out of where you are. He's going to walk you out of where you are. But there's things that are given you, and then you've got to be faithful with what He gives you. Okay? And as you do, and you're going to stumble, you fess up, and you get back up, and then you call Patty or somebody, and then they remind you of the truth again. He still loves you, okay? But we need to make some different choices. Why did we fall? Maybe because we put some things in our way that make it easy for us to fall. So there's some things. I was talking to somebody this week, and they said, or was it last week, and they said, when I was in prison and I came to Jesus, I made a decision that I wasn't going to go back to these things. And they said, so what I did was I put these things behind me. And then when I was tempted and other people tried to bring them in, I said, no, that's not an option. I'm not going there. And I said, you have got a key that all of us need. It is not an option. Folks, any one of these things, any one of them, one thought could change your life. All of them together would radically change your life. But one of them could change your life, get you closer, get you to where you want to be. You all said, I want to be like Jesus. You all said, I'm a truth seeker. So it's not just knowing it, it's doing it. How to live it. So let's just pray, okay? God, the things that were said, I want to live. Teach me how to live them. Help me to not just be a hearer, but a doer. I want to take what was said, and I'm inviting you. I'm telling you, God, these are my choices. And I want you to come work them inside of me. Because I want Jesus to live in me. I only want Jesus to live in me. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.